Hey guys, it's Wednesday night, it's 7 p.m. It's time to hang out again with me. I hope you're doing well. Hope this video finds you somewhere comfortable. I say this every week, somewhere in your easy chair, somewhere sitting in your kitchen, somewhere wherever it's comfortable for you to sit and listen, hopefully to a word that I feel like God has given me this week for you guys. I'm excited to talk to you tonight about big G's and little G's and what the difference between those are, and just hopefully help us out, help us kind of see things in a new light and help us to really understand the difference between the two. We'll start tonight off with prayer, just like we always do. Wherever you are, I ask you to just pray with me. God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for beautiful weather. Thank you, God, for the cooler temperatures this week and just the breeze. And I've been outside and felt that. It feels like a kiss from you every time. I just thank you for that. And I thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak your word. And I pray that it would come out clearly tonight, that you would help me to just be out of the way. And I would just be a gutter straight from the throne room of heaven, just straight out to your people. And I would be able to give them what you gave me and not mess that up or taint that in any way. I pray, God, that you just be with your people tonight. I pray for those in the church who are sick or hurting or anything like that. God, I pray that you just minister to them and be able to be the healer and be the comfort and be the peace and all of those things that we need, God, in this time, in this season. And I pray that you just go to the ones that are lonely, God, and be that one that's sitting with them tonight. Be the company that they need. We thank you again for this opportunity. We thank you for the technology that we have to be able to do this, and pray that you just help me to speak your word tonight. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. So tonight we're going to talk about big G's and little G's and what the difference between those are. And I remember when I was in school and started learning about, just basic structure of sentences and grammar and all those things, and when to capitalize words and when not to. And I remember they told me that the capital letters only started those only with words that were proper nouns, words that were really important. Well, I remember when I was younger, I used to think some words were important that weren't really important. If I felt like it was the most important word in the sentence, I'd capitalize it, and I'd end up getting it wrong and marks and all that stuff. And it really was good with grammar on paper. But I remember that it changed the importance of the noun whenever we capitalized it. We're going to talk about that tonight. Earlier this week, I was reading in Isaiah chapter 46, and it's basically an entire chapter where God starts talking to Israel through Isaiah and tells them the difference between himself, the big G God, and the little G gods that they had put before him. And talking about some things that I don't remember ever reading this chapter before. Maybe I have, maybe I've heard it, but I don't really remember it. And it was just really cool. It was kind of revelational to me that God was laying these things out there for them, and it seems so relevant for us today. So basically, we're going to just kind of start through the chapter, kind of work through it, and talk about some things that he was trying to point out to the Israelites through Isaiah in this time. So Isaiah chapter 46 verse 1 says, Bel, who is one of the gods they served, crouches, Nebo cowers. Their idols are consigned to beasts and cattle. The images you carry are loaded as a burden for the weary animal. So he's talking about them. He comes at them just right out of the gate in this and talks about how the gods that they had created were, number one, they were cowards, and we'll talk a little bit about that later, but also that they were a burden, and the little g gods that the Israelites were serving were basically a burden. They couldn't do anything themselves. They were heavy. They were made of, wood or gold or something like that, and they ended up just being a burden. And I felt like God just really started speaking to me about that and just really started talking to me about how a lot of times in our life we have these little g gods that we're not aware of. And, I don't feel like I'm polytheistic or anything like that at all, but I do feel like there are times in my life where there are idols that I create, even in my subconscious, even when I don't like really try to, I end up creating these smaller gods that take away from my focus. And you're like, man, this guy's preaching on Wednesday nights and he's talking about that. But I bet if you were to sit down and think about it, you could think of a few as well. One of the first things that I thought about was when we start creating these little gods, it just becomes, what do we spend our time thinking about? What do we spend our time worshiping? What do we spend our time that occupies those moments in our brain? And for me, sometimes it's worry, and sometimes it's anxiety, sometimes it's anger, and I begin to build these places in my mind and in my heart for those things to stay in. And when I do that, they don't do, as they grow and as I begin to feed into those, they don't do anything but get heavier and heavier and heavier. And that's just so contradictory of what God wants us to do. And we know that when we worship God, he's definitely not a burden. He's the one that helps us bear our burdens. And that was one of the first things that I thought about as in Isaiah chapter 46, the first verse there. He says that those little gods end up being burdens to us. They end up being things that weigh us down. They end up being things we've got to carry and pack, and it just gets heavy for us. And I think that if we really just sit and think about that, you could think about an area in your life that's occupying that space, that's occupying those thoughts, that's occupying the lens that you're looking through at life, and distorts and skews the way we see the world around us. And I know that I do that myself. So think about that here. What be one of those little gods? What is one of those little G gods today that you feel like you're dealing with that has just really taken over your thoughts and really taken over those things? And we'll move on to verse 2, chapter 46, verse 2, and we'll talk about some other things that these little G gods do as well. Chapter 46, verse 2 says, "The gods cower. They crouch together. They are not able to rescue the burden, but they themselves go into captivity." So not only are they a burden, not only are these little G gods heavy for us, they also can't do anything to rescue us. They also can't do anything at all to save us in the situation. And I know there have been times in my life, and probably in yours as well, where we've worshiped that god of worry. And whenever things get tough and we're focused on that god of worry, if in a difficult situation, it doesn't get easier. It gets harder and harder and harder, because worry just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. Worry is not able to rescue us from that. It's not able to change the situation. It's not able to refocus us. We just get stuck in one view, in one plane of anything that we can see. And it keeps us from going further. It keeps us from seeing the way God wants us to see that. And I think there are different little G gods that do the same thing. We hear all the time about some of the richest people in the world, and those people don't have peace. Those people don't have comfort. Those people are the loneliest people in the world. And when we begin to make money a little G god, it does the same thing. You can think about it physically too. If it becomes a burden because you've got more and more money, you've got more and more bills, you've got more and more things to worry about and take care of and all of those things. But also, it's also one of those things that you can't buy peace. You can't buy hope. You can't buy, you can buy maybe a change of scenery physically, but you can't buy that change of scenery in your heart. There's no money that can do that. And that's one of the things, another thing that little G gods can't do for us. They can't rescue us. They can't change the circumstances. They can't give us hope. They can't do that. They cower away, or they get to the point where we feed and feed and feed, and they just get heavier and heavier and heavier and just end up being more of a problem. So number one, little G gods are a burden. Number two, little G gods can't rescue us. They can't save us. They can't do anything, because they're essentially, and this time he was talking about physical representations of these. They were inanimate objects. They were, I mean, as them saving the Israelites was like your lamp right by your couch trying to save you. It just doesn't work. Like, it just physically unable to do that. And that's what I want us to think about too. So the next one is in chapter 46, verse 7. I'll skip a few verses there. And 46, verse 7 says, "They lift it to their shoulder, bear it along, they set it in its place, and there it stands. It does not budge from its place. They cry out to it, but it doesn't answer. It saves no one from his trouble." So there's some reiteration here. He goes back and talks about the other two things we've expressed already. Number one, they have to shoulder it, they have to bear it. And then it also, in the last part of the verse, it goes back to number two we talked about, where it doesn't save anyone from trouble. But in the middle there, it talks about how they were taking these physical representations of gods that were basically infiltrated their minds and their culture because of captivity and things like that. And they were they would build them, and they would spend all this money to have them built, and then they would put them in a spot. And when they put them in that spot, they never moved again. And they never did anything without the person who owned that representation moved them themselves. And we all know, big G God, we can't move him. He moves us. And he also is the one who moves us from those places of worry, those places of stress and strife and anxiety, into the places of peace and hope and love and joy and all the other fruits of the Spirit that we like to be in. But when we start worshiping those little g gods, we get stuck in those spots. We look into those things. We see them sitting there and expect that if we worry about this enough, something's going to change. It's never going to change. It's never going to move. If we're anxious enough about this, something's going to happen. Something's going to break, and something's going to give, and it'll get better. No, it doesn't. Or if we can throw enough cash at this problem, it's going to go away. It might look like it's gone away, but the root of the problem is still there. And I think that so many times in our life, we see those things, and you know, maybe it's not that drastic for you. Maybe it's something that's admirable. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's even your church that has become a little g god to you, where you feel like you are serving and serving and serving and doing and doing and doing, but it's become the act of doing it rather than why you're doing it. And I think God is challenging me for that as well. It's not that going to work and doing a job is bad. It's not that coming to church and doing things and being involved in church is bad. It's when that becomes something, that act in itself becomes something that we're focused on and becomes something that's more important than the relationship with God. And I know I do that a lot. I get in points where I just can't get that focus right. And I just can't get that to basically regain my composure and say, "Oh, yeah, I am doing all these good things. I'm checking all these boxes, but I'm just doing it to check the box. I'm just doing it because that's what Christians do." And I think God is challenging me lately to say, "And it's good that you're doing all these things. It's good that, you know, we're a part of this and the church is doing these things right now, but why do we do what we do? Why are we here only now? And why do we just check the box? Yeah, we came to church. Yeah, we did this. We volunteered for that. We gave to this. We helped with this mission. We helped with that. Whatever. But if we're not doing it out of a heart to serve him and further the kingdom, it still ends up becoming a little god. So tonight, I just want to remind you about some things that separate big G God from little G gods. And the first one is, man, our big G God, the God we serve, the one that made the universe, the one that created us all, he's a burden bearer. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and my burden is easy. He says that. He says, my burden is easy, my yoke is light. And I think about that so many times. I think about how God really wants to shoulder that weight for us. God really wants to be the one who takes the struggle and takes that burden. I mean, there's really just not another way to articulate that heaviness and that burden that comes from living just a normal life here on earth. He wants to shoulder that. And he's big enough to. Times in my life, man, I feel like I can shoulder everything. But when I finally give it to God and I take it, I let him have it, I realize, man, I'm not made to do that. And neither are you. So remember that. Big G God is a burden bearer. Little G gods are burdens in themselves. So if you feel like you're burdened down, maybe it's because we're focused too much on the little G's and not the big G. The next one, I'm reminded that big G God doesn't cower from anything or anyone or any situation. He's the one that goes before us, and he's also the one that never leaves us or forsakes us. When we're in those times of trouble, we can run to him, and he can be that hiding place. He can be that shelter from the enemy that David talks about in the Psalms, and he can be that place where we go to. He's not going to run away from trouble. He is the one who fights our battles. And there's scripture in Exodus about talking about the battle is the Lord's. And he will be the one who stands in front of us. He will be the shield. He will be the protection that we need. He is not going to cower away from anything. Little G gods seem to not be around. They seem to be non-existent when those times of real trouble come. Those times of real trial come. Money can't fix it. Popularity can't fix it. A good job can't fix it. A good wife can't fix it when it's in that part. The only thing that can fix us in real times of trouble is the one who can deliver us. His hand is not shortened that it can't save. He's not going to leave us. He's there. Remember that. And the last thing, one of the last things to talk about tonight, Big G God moves us. We don't move him. We don't have to pick him up every morning and take him with us so that we've got the presence of God with us. He's everywhere all the time. I don't have a God backpack that I put on every morning. I get ready for work and I've got my wallet, I've got my knife, I've got my phone, I've got everything I need. I've got my sunglasses, my cowboy hat so I don't burn my bald head, all those things. But I don't have to remember my backpack that I hold my God in because he's everywhere I am. And he helps move me throughout the day. And he's helped move many people through the Bible. He led the Israelites by smoke, a pillar of smoke during the day and a pillar of fire by night. He's the one who, if we acknowledge him in all of our ways, he directs our paths because he's in front of us. And he's behind us. And he's beside us all the time. He's the same right now that he was in the Bible. And he's the same right now that he's going to be until the end of the age. He's the beginning, he's the end. And he's everything in between that. He moves with us. He helps move us. We don't have to pick him up and move him. So tonight, pretty short, pretty sweet. Hope it opened your eyes a little bit like it did mine to think about the little G gods in our life and to think about those times where we've let the little G's get in the way of the big G. And I know I've done it. I feel like we all have at some point. We've taken our eyes away from the God we know, the God we as Christians serve every day. We know he's the one that built everything. We know he's the one that created the universe. But sometimes those little G gods just get in the way. And when they start to stack up and stack up, and we start to feed them and feed them and feed them, and we worship and worship and worship, they end up stealing our view. And they end up clouding our view and don't allow us to be effective. So I feel like there's a pretty quick fix for that. It just takes some time to look introspectively at how are we seeing things right now. What do things look like? What does the world look like? Does your Thursday morning look like an obstacle to you? Does your Friday look like something that's just going to be an obligation? Or does it look like an opportunity? And I think that that's one of the biggest keys to me in knowing where I'm at spiritually. is when I think about tomorrow and I think about what I'm going to do tomorrow, does it feel like an obligation or does it feel like an opportunity? Because if it feels like an obligation, I'm probably not focused on the right thing. But if it feels like an opportunity to wake up again, to praise God again, to be able to thank Him for another day, to be able to hopefully find someone in need and minister to them that day, and to be a light in the darkness, and to be the thing that is different in someone's life than any other Thursday they've ever experienced. That's how I know. And if I begin to check myself and begin to say, all right, it's Wednesday evening, I'm getting ready for bed, I'm going to lay down and chill, I can't help but think about tomorrow. What's it feel like? Tomorrow feels busy for me right now. It just does. It's the middle of the week, tagging up stuff before the weekend. But if I can look at it through the lens that says, you know what, I'm going to serve the big G God tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about all the things that come with the tasks and the schedule that I have tomorrow. It helps me get through all of those things so much better. I can have the busiest day in the world, but if I'm focused on God, that day will flow so smooth. It'll be calm waters and still water all day long. But if I have that kind of the same day with the same appointments and I'm not focused on them, I'm focused on how they could go wrong or what's not right or how mad I am at so-and-so for not doing their job right or whatever it is, that day will fall and those waves will get bigger and bigger and bigger and begin to toss me about, and then I'm going to be miserable because I'm stuck in something because I didn't look at it and I didn't worship the big G God. So tonight, check it. Look at yourself. What do you see? How do you see it? How do you feel about that? And that'll give you a pretty good gauge about which one you're looking at, big G or little G. Remember, the big G is with the proper noun. The little G is just a regular old noun. It's nothing important. It's just the same as a duck or a goat or a cow. The big G one is the important one. Tonight, as we get ready to go, pray with me again. And I pray God helps us this week to be able to see that. God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you just for how much you love us, how much you care about us. And thank you for showing us that sometimes we worship the little G gods. Sometimes we get stuck focused on those things. And it doesn't make us bad people. It doesn't make us, crazy or some kind of weird religion or anything. It just means that sometimes we let our minds focus on the things that just aren't you, and we don't give you the attention you deserve. And I thank you for that conviction this week for me, to remind me that when I do focus on you and when I acknowledge you in all my ways, you do direct my paths. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for pointing that out to me and shedding light on that in my life. I pray that you would help us as a church to be able to see that. And I pray that you would help us as just Christians and men and women to be able to see, man, how am I seeing things right now? Am I worshiping the big God or am I worshiping the little G? Which one is it? And I pray that you would help us to remember that all it takes is just a refocus and just a remembrance of, oh yeah, that's what it's like when I worship big G God. And this is what it's like when I focus on the things that just are irrelevant and frivolous. I pray that you would just be with our church. I pray that you would help us to grow, God, not only in number, but in spirit and in the amount of your presence that just dwells here and within us as church members. I pray that you would direct us in the way that we should go. I pray that you would help to guide us this week as we prep to open the doors again and gather. I pray that you would help that go smoothly. Pray that you would just protect us, keep us safe, help us to do it right and as close to right as we can. And pray that we would just be led by you and by the way that you would have us to do things. Thank you again for being able to speak your word. Pray that you would just help me to continue to do that in a way that's effective for those around me. And I pray for all of those in our church family that need you. Whatever that need is, God, I know you're a need meter. I know you're the one that can heal and fix and restore and make better than new. You're incredible and we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So again, we'll be back next week. I don't really know what it'll be about next week yet, but I'm sure we'll have fun. I'll be here to hang out with you. Tune in next week at 7. If you watch this sometime between now and then, and you're driving, don't look at the screen. Just listen to it. Have a good week.